I said earlier during the announcements that one of the ways that we are about discerning God's, or how we respond to this week, is to be in worship together. And that is absolutely true. But it's not enough simply to worship with a church community on a Sunday morning. It's not enough to listen to and meditate deeply on the texts from the Bible as they are read. It's not enough to pay attention to what I or any other preacher has to say about the texts, to absorb it all and to let these words make you feel either good or bad about yourself and the world. It's also not enough to pray the most fervent prayers or to plead honestly in a silent conversation with God. And it's not enough to come to the table and to eat Jesus' body and drink his blood. All of this, this hour or so of worship, is not enough. If we really want to live as God's children, at least if we pay attention to John the Baptist in today's text from Luke. John the Baptist was a man not known for blending in or for mincing his words. He was a man who drew crowds of people out away from their homes and businesses, out into the wilderness, just to hear what he had to say or to catch a glimpse of what he looked like. A man who those called out, who did wander out to hear him, he called them a brood of vipers, and still they stuck around to hear what he had to say. What if I did that to you? Would you keep listening to me? Bear fruits worthy of repentance, he continues to tell those who have come out to the wilderness to hear and to see him. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. For those to whom John is speaking, it isn't enough to claim their Jewish ancestry, to say that they are part of God's chosen few because Abraham is an ancestor. Not when, as John says, God can make rocks to be children of Abraham. It isn't enough because it, that is faith, belonging to God and to God's family, is about so much more. And if John the Baptist were standing here today, he probably would tell us that it isn't enough to just call ourselves Christian. It's not enough to worship for an hour of the week, to participate in the liturgy, to pray and to sing, and even to take the Eucharist and say, we believe, to claim that God is our God. It's not enough, not when God can raise up from rocks people to participate in worship and sing hymns. I think what John the Baptist is getting at is that it's not about who you claim to be, but rather how that claim changes your life. And by changing your life, changes the world around you. It's not enough just to claim to be Christian, to attend worship 1 hour a week, expecting it to sanctify the other 167 hours of the week. Instead, it is about the claim that Christ has on you and on your life, on all of our lives, and how that claim changes every single of those 160 hours, 68 hours in a week. It's about the claim that Christ makes on our lives, a claim that is strengthened as we worship God each week. So this is certainly part of it, giving God everything that we have, all that we are. It is a claim on our lives that compels us to live as if love is the greatest power that exists in the world. And because of that, live as if that love has a claim on all of our neighbors. A claim that calls us to live with justice for all. Even with heavy external pressure not to, and in the midst of a corrupt system. For the tax collectors who asked John the Baptist what they should do to bear fruit worthy of repentance, the response was to collect only the amount prescribed for them, which is not an easy task in a system that fueled the desire and sometimes even the need to collect more from people just to support their families. For the soldiers in the group, it means refusing to extort money from people with threats of false accusations, even if they know that it will mean they will be considered suspect by the other soldiers or even possibly reported to the empire for being traitors. And for us this week, in the wake of one of the scariest days for our city and our country since September 11th, 2001, it's time for us to consider what it means for us to bear fruit worthy of repentance. What it means for us to have this claim on our lives in a way that demands a just and loving response to an event that was an attack not only on democracy, but also on the lives of our families, friends, neighbors, and coworkers. We must be honest about the ways that our action or our inaction may have helped lead to this moment, about the ways that we've let our own fear have an impact on the choices that we've made, sometimes choosing not to speak truth into a space that desperately needs it, or to condemn off-color remarks when slid into a conversation. We must also repent as a nation of the ways that we have continued to let systemic racial injustice happen, recognizing that many of those who invaded the Capitol were carrying Confederate flags, and many were also wearing shirts that harkened back to Nazi Germany. We must be honest with ourselves that Wednesday's events would have looked drastically different had a group of armed black and brown people approached the Capitol. We must bear good fruit of repentance because bearing fruit is what we do, what those of us who walk wet with the waters of baptism and are claimed by God do, simply because that is who we are. John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now, when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was open and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." In Jesus' baptism, we hear God's claim for him as a child. And we hear that same claim in our baptisms. We are beloved children of God, children claimed in a family that prioritizes love and justice for all people. It's not enough for us to gather as a church once a week and then never find ways of producing fruit outside of that. It's not enough to live for an hour each week as if we are the children of God and then live the other 167 hours some other way. But it is enough to be claimed by God, to be those to whom the one who is more powerful than John the Baptist is coming. It is enough to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with fire, because that claim, that baptism ignites something within us. It fuels us to live all the hours of the week as we are children claimed and called and baptized with the Holy Spirit. it is enough to be claimed by Jesus and to know that deep down through our bones, a claiming that changes how we see the world, that shifts our perspective and prompts us to action. It is enough to know that one is coming into the world and that all of it, the whole world, is sacred because of his very presence and the choice to be here, God with us. His willingness to come in and clean house is enough to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into the granary, but also to burn off the chaff of sin that we carry with us, to purify us as one who purifies gold or silver. God makes us God's own in the waters of baptism and lays claim to our lives in a way that shifts our eyes away from all that distracts us and back to what really matters: justice and love for all, no matter who they are. Justice is enough. Love is enough. Enough to prompt us to ask, what then shall we do? And John's response is, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Because it is enough what we have and what we're given. There is enough for everybody, enough food, enough water, and maybe most importantly, enough love. Because God is enough, always. For all the children of God, for all people. And he's coming, the one more powerful than John the Baptist, the one who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire, the one who will satisfy every need and stoke our desire for justice and love. It's coming to remind us of the claim that he has on our lives and that we belong to one large family together. And that claim, that's enough.